First Peter, chapter 4, and I think the Lord hath worked it out very carefully indeed, as He always does. It's precision timing when the Lord's on the job, that we should be looking at four verses this evening. First Peter chapter 4, verses 8, 9, 10, 11. And we'll read them through together. Peter is writing to these saints in these assemblies, and I must stress assemblies scattered throughout Asia. And he's saying to them, "And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Peter is underlining several things here that people in assemblies need to attend to. And he's underlining these things, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Just trying to get the assembly into tune with God, that God in all these things that he underlines may be glorified through Jesus Christ. You see, he's underlining things like charity. Verse 8 says, "And above all things..." Let's stop just there. Somebody came to argue with me once and said there were contradictions in this book. And I said, "I've never found one yet." And this chap said, "Well, you remember Peter saying, above all things have fervent love," the word is, that's the old Greek word, and it's the word love, "have fervent love among yourselves." I said, "Yes, I remember that." He said, "Peter put love above all things." Would you remember when Paul was writing in Ephesians? Have a look at that. That's Ephesians chapter 6. Paul said, verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith." He says it seems that Paul thinks faith should be above all, and that Peter thinks love should be above all. He said, surely that's a contradiction. And then he turned to another portion, and it's Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. Now watch this one very carefully. And it's chapter 5. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5. And speaking to these Thessalonian converts, he said in verse 5, "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. He says you would think that Paul is changed here, and above faith and above love he's placing hope. For the helmet is above all. I said, I don't see any contradictions. I think because you're spiritually blind, you think there are contradictions. I said, you know, if you would look the passage in Peter very carefully, you would find this. Now look at it again, 1 Peter 4. Peter's talking to believers in assemblies, and he's saying, above all things, have fervent charity. Now watch the word, among yourselves. And it's the same in the next verse. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same. Watch it, one to another. And it's the same in the passage right through this evening. You know, these are saints in an assembly. That's what they are. And the thing that should be above everything else in the assembly is fervent love among ourselves. There is no trouble with that. I said, when Paul's talking, you know, he's talking about the soldier at the warfare for God. Because, you know, when you get saved, you're not only a saint and should be in the assembly, but you're a soldier in the battle. And the thing for the soldier is faith above all. He's talking about armor. He's not talking about saints in the assembly. He's talking about the armor for the warrior on the battlefield. Put on the whole armor. And he says, above all, the shield of faith. And of course, when we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it's not so much the saint or the soldier. It's the son. It's the child of God. We're the children of the day. Yes, we're the sons of God. And the moment you become a son of God, you see, James McKendrick used to say, ye turn to God from idols. He used to stop and say, ye turned. That was your salvation. To serve the living and true God. He said, to serve, that's your occupation. To wait for his Son from heaven, that's your expectation. For every child in the family has a hope. And it's the blessed hope. And in that sense, it's above all. When it's the saints in the assembly, it is love that it is above all. When it's the soldier in the battle, it is faith that is above all. When it's a son in the family, it is hope that it is above all. And it was just a spiritual blindness that make him think that there were contradictions here. But let's get back to 1 Peter now. I want you to watch this very carefully. He says, above all things have fervent love among yourselves. For love shall cover the multitude of sins. You know, the assembly sometimes meets with difficulties. You know, when I was the pastor at Bloomfield, dear old lady came to me one morning, and we were having great meetings at the time and crowded out, and the deacons were having quite a job getting people seats like we have here sometimes. And she says, I don't like the way the deacons put me into the seat. What are they doing on you? She said, so and so. He just marches up the aisle, stops and points. Then you go in like a cow into the byre. You know, I felt like saying to her, you know, if you had a little bit of fervent love for the deacons, you would find less fault. Because even if he was a little bit rude in his manner, which might well have been, she could have covered it with love. That's what Peter's talking about. I had another fellow who came to me and said, you know, Mr. So-and-so that prays in the prayer meeting? Well, I don't like the way he says, Our Father. He just says, Our Father, we come to thee. And Our Father, we're laying our wants before thee. And Our Father, and this fellow did use the word Our Father all the time. Well, you see, he might be a little bit timid or he might be nervous. And this is the only way the poor fellow could really pray. And while he was allowed to say Our Father, he could get on with it. But if the man that had come to me had had a little bit of love for the fellow that was praying, he wouldn't have found so many faults. He would have covered them with love. It's a great little message for an assembly, you know. And I tell you, if we had a little bit more of fervent love among ourselves, there would be less trouble with these so-called faults. You could cover them. It's not talking about covering scarlet sins, you know. Now, there are little things in the assembly, or you could cover them, right? Everybody criticizes me for shouting. Well, I shout a bit, that's right. One of our dear members had a little boy with her the other morning. He's just 4 or 5. And when he went home, he says, Mummy, the priest didn't shout so much this morning. It gets a bit bigger, our priesthood. Yes. Well, you know, a little bit of fervent love would cover a whole lot of things, wouldn't it? You know, William Gilmer, who was one of the great characters the Lord saved. I met him one Sunday afternoon, just after the morning meeting. I used to go to the morning meeting with him. And he said to me, I had a rare time this morning. I said, what happened? He said, they came down the road with old Alec Shaw. Do you know Alec Shaw? I said, yes. Oh, well, he said, you know, he began evil speaking and backbiting against George Matthews. You know old George Matthews, yes. And he says he tore old George to pieces. And he said, I walked down the whole road and I listened. I neither said aye, yes, nor no. Just let him rave on. And they said, the more rope I gave him, the more he gave George Matthews. But he says, I made sure that when I was leaving the morning meeting, I would walk home with George Matthews. And he says, I hadn't gone 10 yards till he started on Alec Shaw. And he says, he gave Alec Shaw as much as Alec Shaw gave him. And I let him go on till I was at my own gate. And I said to him, George, you know all that you're saying about Alec coming up the road, yes? Well, he said that about you going down the road this morning. That's the way Gilmer dealt with it. If there was just a little bit more of real, fervent love in the assembly, we could cover a lot of faults. Right, well, nobody ever trying to cover scarlet sin. We're taught how to deal with that. Paul says, put that man out from among you. There is no question. This is in the assembly. And Peter wants the assembly to love one another, that God may be glorified and there'll be less talk. Oh, some fellow may not walk the way you walk or do this the way you do. Ah, well, love them. Save a whole lot of trouble. I would have less trouble in this assembly if they loved one another properly about wee things. I wouldn't need to stand in between them. They could cover it. And then he comes from charity to hospitality. Did you notice that? He says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. And the word grudging there is an old Greek word, and it could be without murmuring. And I think it has the sense of both words, without murmuring and without grudging. I think I told you about having my tea one afternoon with a lady in a great big fashionable lounge of a front room. And we were sitting chatting together, it was going very well. When the gate opened, there was another lady coming up and she says to me, look at this one. Oh dear me, look at it. You couldn't get a minute for her. She's nosing into everything. She got real mad. And then she went to the door and she said, oh, hello, baby. Glad to see you. The hypocrite. Baptist hypocrite. Yes. Ah, that's it. We get that sort of thing, you know. Don't we? We get that continually. You know, I was in a big home one evening where there were about a dozen different preachers who had been all out. This was in the Faroe Isles. And one of the preachers said, let's talk about experiences in homes. We've all lived in different homes. We must have all had different experiences. Well, I've had some experiences, I can tell you. I went to have a mission once in the heart of the country, and I'll not tell you where it is because of the story. But an old farmer kept me, and he put me into a big room, almost as big as our annex it was, in the heart of winter. All the coldest weather you could ever think about. No fire on. None whatsoever. Had to get the big coat on every morning and the muffler, and I had to walk round and round the room and keeping myself warm. You talk about studying. You could hardly breathe, never mind study. And I remember going to preach at Glasgow, and they put me into a hotel with the three boys of the trio, the four of us. And there wasn't the weight of a pocket hanky on the bed. No clothes at all. So I had an old suit that I didn't care too much about, and I slept in the suit every day. You should see me with my good suit on in bed. And the other boy, McLean, who was quite a lad, you'll see him here one of these days, he said to me, I'm not going to freeze here every night. So there was a beautiful Persian carpet on the floor, and he shifted the beds over, and he took this off the floor every night, doubled it up twice, put it over. Oh, he was doing fine. The other two boys had to sleep together. And I can remember seeing Sam Scott with his fierce trembling. He was chittering with cold. And he was trying to be nice. He said, it's great to be in the work, isn't it? Yeah. This is what you call hospitality now. One of the fellows at the Faroe Isles, he told this story. He went to preach at the place for 2 weeks. No, 3 weeks. Went to preach for 3 weeks. He said, you know, the food they served was absolutely wonderful. Morning, night and noon, I was fed on the very best. Said, I said to myself, well, you're landed here all right, you're all right here. She said, I was only home 1 week after the 3 weeks preaching when I got a bill from the two people for £12 a week. £36 for your food. And he sent it off the next morning. That's what you call Christian hospitality. See what Peter means? We need to have a little bit of love among ourselves in the assembly. And we need to have a bit of hospitality too. And then he says something that Tom was underlining, and I was very glad he did. To every man his work. And here's this phrase, every man. As every man hath received the gift. You know, there's no use you saying that you have no gift. May well be that you're not a gifted teacher. And you couldn't do what I'm doing every week for 19 years. And God's not expecting you to. If he didn't give you the gift, I'm responsible for the gift he gave me. And it may be that you couldn't do, nor I couldn't do, what Tom is doing, or Ethel is doing. And if God hasn't gifted you and sent you, he's not asking you. But there's no doubt at all, there's something you can do. The work for you. You can't tell me that you're in the body of Christ and there's nothing for you to do. There are no paralyzed members in the body of Christ that I know of. And that little finger may be an insignificant little thing, but there are times when I need it. And it plays a part. And God has gifted you to do something. Or you may be just one of the helps in the body of Christ. Maybe there's a way that you could help. We were talking about Ethel. She knits these clothes for the little dolls that Tom takes out and probably taking some with him at this time. I know she's got a lot ready. Not very much. And yet they have been used of the Lord, you see. Gets these ready. And you know, they can be a great pleasure to the children in the forests. And it attracts them to the meeting. And they hear the gospel. Wonder what you're doing for the church of Jesus Christ. Wonder what you're doing. Yes, you know, there is not only this charity and this hospitality and this ministry, but I want you to get the hold of this. I want you to get that there is a responsibility on your shoulders this evening. You know, when the Lord gave out the talents, he didn't give them all out the same. He gave one man five. He's got five. Gave another man two. Gave another man one. Now, they hadn't all the same ability. No, 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 no. Oh, but they had all the same responsibility. They'd got to work with what God gave them. God gave Peter, who wrote this epistle, he made him an apostle. And he was the great apostle to the Jews. Yes, but he was also a prophet in the New Testament church. Many times he preached before the New Testament was formed. Of course, he was a great evangelist. 3,000 were saved on the day of Pentecost. Now I'll tell you this. He was one of the great pastors of the flock. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. I'll tell you this. The man that reads these two letters of his carefully will know without the shadow of a doubt he was a great teacher in the church. Because he had all these talents that the Lord gave him. Ah, well, he was responsible for every one of them. Ah, but the man or woman that the Lord only gives the one to, you're as equally responsible, you know. Yeah, you're a steward of the manifold grace of God, because if you have any ability at all, it comes from the grace of God. Yes, I want you to get this into your mind. We should have charity and hospitality and ministry and responsibility. You know, I want you to get this bit. Watch this. If any man speak, let him speak of the oracles of God. You know, that's what you call authority. You know what speaking as the oracles of God means? It means speaking as the mouthpiece of God. That's what it means. That's why I try to tell all the young fellows when they're preaching to preach the word. For any sake, preach the word. And I was so pleased to see Tom take that little reading tonight, bit by bit. Sure, that's the whole thing. That's preaching the word. And learn to do it. You have no authority beyond it. James McKendrick took me aside when I was a young fella. Said, you're going out preaching. I said, yes. Said, I'll tell you how to preach. Always have this before you. A picture on the wall. And the whole center of the picture itself, that should be the word of God coming from you. And the frame on the picture, make it as little as possible. That's your word. And if we would only learn to preach the word and have very little of our own around it, maybe people would see the picture. Sometimes the frame's that big with our own importance that the truth is not seen. Yes, this is authority. And he said this. He said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it out of the ability which God giveth. And this word minister is another special one. It's a Greek word, and you can look it up when you go home in a Greek lexicon. And it means to serve. It means to serve. That's what it means. It's not talking about preaching. He's been talking about preaching already when he says, if any man speak. And he was very careful to say, if any man. He doesn't say every man should speak. Because God has given gifts to men. But he says, if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. You know, we get lots of things done at this church that we never know about. I think I told you once about coming in here in the afternoon once, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I hope nobody gets excited about this. I found Mr. Carson, our treasurer, down on his knees and the coat off and the sweat blinding him, and he was putting in a bit of a new floor. And I just kidded him. I said, you know, you'll get no credit for this. Nobody sees you. Looked up. I'll always remember that look on his face. He says, I'm not doing it for credit. I'm doing it for the Lord. And he's got ability to do things. When we want any iron made for this place, he's the blacksmith. He does it. We have painters who do painting sometimes. We've got electricians who do the electric wiring. There's lots of bars. We've got a typist who does typing. Yes, there's lots of things to be done, you know. That's what we were talking about. The Master has given to every man his work, both here and abroad. And you want to do it with the ability that God has given you. I don't know why men have certain ability and don't put a bit of it into the church work. I don't know why. Yes, I want you to get this. You know, it's just a short passage, isn't it? But isn't he a great preacher? Talking about charity among yourselves. Talking about hospitality. Talking about gifted ministry. Talking about the responsibility of stewards. Talking about authority speaking as the oracles of God. talking about this ability to do things for God. He says, you know, let love and this hospitality and authority speaking as the oracles of God, talking about this ability to do things for God. He says, you know, let love and this hospitality and this ministry and this authority and this ability, let it work in the assembly for the glory of God. Lovely little portion. Going on to a mighty portion next week. I want you to think about it. Verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. And we're going into this fiery trial which is to try you next week.